Again, I want to thank everyone for coming. In the last 10 minutes, let's just summarize what we've discussed. We have tried to identify the characteristics of biblical putting away in the last two evenings. Putting away is an action. It is something you do, not something you think. It is an action one takes to end a marriage. If this was something that a person could just do in mind, it would be possible to be a put-away person and not even know it. Isn't that the case? Look at an example from Jesus in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 23. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. We see here the word apollo. We can see that it involved action on the part of Jesus to actually send the multitudes away. Putting away is an action. Putting away is a unilateral action. This is something that one person does to another. It does not require their consent. Relationships require agreement in order to establish, but require the action of one, only one of the parties in order to terminate that. Also, there can only be one putting away in any relationship. No Bible passage ever suggests the idea of two puttings away. Brother Reese has never showed us that. When Jesus sent the multitude away, they were sent away. The multitude cannot then decide to send Jesus away. Do you see the point? Likewise, when a man puts away his wife, that is final. The relationship is ended. You cannot put away or end a relationship that has already ended. Also, sinful putting away is real. Sinful putting away is real. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 and 11, the sinful putting away resulted in the two people being unmarried. It is clear that God recognizes such putting away, even though He does not approve of them. And finally, one who is put away commits adultery if they remarry. A put away person is not authorized to remarry another. In fact, Jesus specifically forbids them to remarry three times, Matthew 5:32, Matthew 19:9, and Luke 16, verse 18. The exception Jesus gives is for the one who does the putting away, not for the one who has been put away. These are the facts about biblical putting away. And it is all of our responsibilities to make sure that we understand them and that we apply them consistently. Again, at the end of the second night, I want to press the point that Brother Reese has not answered this chart. He has tried to answer this chart by continually insisting that we have added the word then to the proposition, thus adding sequence. Says that we've added the word then and tried to add sequence to Jesus' teaching. The word and here is used in Luke 16 and verse 18. It's used in all of the texts, Matthew 5:32, Matthew 19:9, Mark 10:11, and Luke 16 and 18. It can and does often imply sequence. And for an example, I'd ask you to turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It says, repent and be baptized. Repentance must come first. And it shows sequence. The baptism must come second. Do you see how the word and can show sequence? We haven't added sequence to this verse. Sequence is implied. It is inherent. It is in this verse. We haven't added it. It's already there. We stated that my proposition directly parallels Jesus' teaching. Brother Reese has not proved otherwise. Don't let him get away with neglecting and refusing that clear and simple parallel. Brother Reeves wants this debate to be about procedure. He spoke about it in his last speech. He and his moderator and others have labeled us people teaching doctrine that I have presented in this speech and in the speeches previous. They have labeled us as civil procedure brethren. We are not here to debate procedure. We haven't been here to debate procedure. We have not debated procedure. This debate is about the necessary order that authorizes an innocent party to remarry. Let me remind you once again of the order that the Bible teaches. There is fornication committed. The innocent party takes action to put away the guilty party for this cause. And then, and only then, the innocent party may remarry without sin. This is the biblical order. This is the order that Brother Reeves says he agrees with. But that's not the case. Brother Reeves is adding a step. He's saying there can be a putting away somewhere here, farther above. There can be a putting away. And then fornication can occur, and then there can be a second putting away and remarriage. This isn't the order that Brother Reeves teaches. Don't let him tell you it is. He has added a step to the biblical order. He has added a step. That's not what he teaches. Brother Reeves is defending that there can be a putting away, and then subsequent fornication, and then later a remarriage. Brethren, this order that he is promoting is not taught in the New Testament. Brother Reeves, despite his best effort, cannot produce one example of such a thing occurring in the Scriptures. Keep remembering as you leave tonight that order is important. And in your own mind, I hope that you have tried to hold Brother Reeves accountable to show where his order is found in the New Testament, because he hasn't showed us where it's found. The fact of the matter is this, and it cannot be denied. A put-away person is specifically forbidden to remarry. Matthew 5:32 again says, "Whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." Matthew 19:9 says, "Whosoever marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." Luke 16:18 says, "Whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery." Jesus said it three times. It cannot be denied. The put-away woman cannot remarry without committing sin. It is just that clear. It is just that plain. It cannot be denied. Remember, these are the three affirmative arguments that we stated in our first speech on Thursday evening. We said that our proposition directly paralleled Luke 16:18 and 19. We said that order is important. We said what the proper biblical order is. And we said that remarriage of a put-away person is specifically forbidden, as we just said in the previous chart, three times by Jesus himself. Let's look one more time at Matthew 19:9 before we close. A key verse in any marriage, divorce, and remarriage discussion. Let's talk about the action, cause, and results one more time for the husband and the wife. There are two possible scenarios. We've talked about it. The one in which fornication has occurred and one in which fornication has not occurred. We're going to read that. Let's talk about a divorce for fornication first. We're going to read Matthew 19:9 that way. It says, "Whosoever shall put away his wife for fornication and shall marry another does not commit adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." Look, the husband puts away his wife for fornication. The result for the husband is that he may remarry without committing sin. But what about his guilty put-away wife? "Whosoever marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery, she may not remarry." Brother Reeves agrees with me on this scenario. Let's talk about the second possibility, the second scenario. The one in which she has not committed fornication. The husband puts away his wife, not for fornication. Well, what's the result? The husband may not remarry. It's adultery if he does. What about the innocent wife? Again, the verse plainly teaches that whosoever marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery, she may not remarry either. This has been the point of controversy in this entire debate. This is what we've been talking about. Brother Reeves says that she can remarry. Jesus plainly says that she cannot. Don't forget what Brother Reeves has had to do in an effort to prove his position. He has had to change the meaning of words based upon circumstances. Brother Reeves doesn't like us to say that. But that's what he's had to do, whether he'll admit it or not, to prove his case. That's what he has had to do. He has had to change the meaning of words based upon circumstances. He has had to add to the Bible verses on marriage and divorce. He has had to read between the lines to reach conclusions that he desires. He has had to confuse the difference between married and bound. He's had to confuse that difference in order to make his points. And he has had to argue that the Bible does not address every possible marriage-divorce scenario, which we clearly said it does. That's what he's had to do. And as you leave tonight, you remember, these are the things that he has to do. Is that something that someone should have to do if what they're preaching is the truth, and if what they're preaching is from the Scripture? Is that what you have to do to prove your points? We haven't done those things. If anyone can show to me where I have done those things, you bring that to my attention. That's what Brother Reeves had to do to prove his points. Thank you all for coming. I apologize for my lack of speaking ability, and I appreciate you all being patient with me as we've gone through this. I encourage each of you as you return home, and many of you are from many different local congregations, I encourage you that you will stand for the truth. that you will stand firm on Jesus' teaching on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We desperately need Christians to stand up for what's right in times like these. Remember, the truth does not fear investigation.